2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or necessary, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of these of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If correctly read, that's chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Pray with me a moment. Father in heaven, we know tonight that, Lord, before we even begin, you know what we need. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd help me to say that's needed this evening. Help me to be an encouragement to some heart tonight. Lord, peradventure there be someone here that doesn't know you. May our words tonight, Lord, that come from the Word of God, may they, Lord, be a challenge tonight to that heart. Help them, our Father, to consider Jesus before it's too late. Lord, we pray tonight that you'll bless the Word of God as it goes forth. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I want to look tonight at this little phrase in verse number 1, like precious faith. I think about what Peter is writing here, and I think about one of the reasons that he's writing it. If you look into the second epistle, 2 Timothy, 2 Peter, 2 Thessalonians, each one of these second epistles deals with apostasy, deals with a time in the church when that's not ignorance. Apostasy is not ignorance, but it's a turning away from revealed truth. And God gives the truth, and men on purpose turn their back on the Word of God. And it's in this setting, the setting that Peter knows what's coming on the church, the setting also that Peter knows he's shortly leaving out. He doesn't have much more time on this earth to serve the Lord. that he calls this faith that we have like precious faith. The word precious, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means of great value. It means not to be wasted or treated carelessly. And I believe tonight that what God has given you and I is precious. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved by the grace of God, that it's a precious faith, that it's a like precious faith. I believe that everywhere that you find that faith, you find a Savior that was born of a virgin, that lived a sinless life, that died on an old rugged cross, that rose again the third day, and beloved, is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The Bible calls it precious, precious faith. And I thought about tonight, as you just to introduce the message a little bit tonight, I thought about some of the things in the Bible that the Bible called precious. The Bible said Joseph in Deuteronomy 33:13, and of Joseph he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath." And the Bible said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Think about where God puts this faith in light of other things that he called precious in the Word of God. The Bible said of you and I, said, "I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them!" Before you and I, beloved, our mind ever developed enough to think about him, he was thinking about us. He had us on his mind. It'd be good to read that, wouldn't it, when you're in a hearing like they have been the last couple of days. Instead of the garbage being yelled from the gallery, it'd be good to read to them and let them understand that though they may not respect the baby that's in that womb, there's a God in heaven that knows the baby's in that womb. There's a God in heaven that knows that it's precious. The Bible talked about in Proverbs about wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. It said, "For she is more precious than rubies. All the things that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her." The Bible said a good name is better than precious ointment. You say, "Preacher, I don't know why you're reading these verses." I want you to see, beloved, when God uses the word precious and talks about our faith. Listen, faith is a gift of God. That God gives us the measure of faith. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. In Matthew, the Bible talked about a woman that having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. The Bible said the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. A lot of people want faith, but they don't want the trial. God said the faith is precious, and God said the trial of the faith is just as precious. Amen. The Bible talked about Jesus, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded." 1 Peter 2:7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." I'm going to tell you something tonight. Anybody that knows Jesus knows he's precious. But I believe there are some people in the world that know Jesus that don't know how precious their faith is. Amen. They go around acting like a pauper when they're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. This faith is precious. And beloved, the Bible said in Revelation 21, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious. I mean, when we get to heaven, we're going to be looking at things that God said are precious. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. So it's in this context that I want us to see tonight a faith that's of great value, a faith that's not to be wasted or treated carelessly. Let me give you some things tonight, just three things hurriedly. Number one, it's precious, a precious faith as a result of its perfection. You say, "Preacher, what do you see in faith that is perfect?" Well, I see the perfection number one in the Savior. In verse number one, the Bible said, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, having the Bible said the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Beloved, listen, you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, but I thank God my faith is perfect tonight because its origin, it originates with the perfection of the Savior. I'm glad tonight, listen, Hollywood can do whatever they want to do, but they'll never shake my faith that my Savior was born of a virgin. My Savior never thought one wicked thought, never did one unkind deed or one wicked deed. My Savior, beloved, was holy and harmless. My Savior was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. I'm thankful for that tonight. You say, preacher, who are you to believe such a thing? I'm nobody, but he planted down inside of me a like precious faith. Amen. Listen, I'm glad tonight that our Savior is precious to us and that we have precious faith because of its perfection. The Bible said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and that Lamb would be a perfect Lamb, a spotless Lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, you ever meet somebody, Brother Don, I know in your travels you've experienced this. You sit down with somebody that's been to Calvary. It don't take you 30 days to get to know them. More like 3 minutes, sometimes 30 seconds. And God does something in one another's hearts and you realize you've got something in common. And that something is someone. And his name is Jesus. Amen. You take two men that's been to Calvary and put them together. Amen. It ain't going to be long. They're going to be rejoicing in the good things of God. I believe that's why Paul and Silas didn't have a problem making it through the prison experience. Amen. Listen, they had like precious faith. It didn't cause one of them to want to pout and one of them to want to pray. It caused both of them to want to pray and praise God. Amen. Now listen tonight, not only the perfection in the Savior, but what about in the Spirit? You say, preacher, I don't see the Spirit in these verses. Look at verse 3. The Bible said, according as his divine power. I'm going to tell you something tonight, friend. You got saved by the grace of God. You didn't get saved without a divine power. I tell you, the old timers called it conviction. And it's still the same today. Amen. Brother Cole, we need to pray. When that man comes, God's already wooing. God's already working. But we need to pray you fall under Holy Ghost conviction and see himself lost without God and see the Savior for who he is. Amen. Because it takes a divine power. And that divine power is the Spirit of the living God. That's what brought us all to the same place where we realized we were the sinner and he was the Savior. And the sinner called on the Savior. And beloved, we experienced something called like precious faith. And then there's perfection in the Scripture. A lot of people don't believe this, but that's okay. One preacher said they have a right to be wrong. Look at verse 18. The Word of God said here, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. I can't tell you a lot about what my pastor was preaching the night I got saved. I really can, because I fell under conviction. And I'm telling you, beloved, he was doing his best that night to encourage the church. But there was a sinner that needed to be born again sitting on the front pew that night. And I was hearing the sweet voice of God. Listen, conviction's bittersweet. If you've ever lived one day, and I didn't live one day, I lived 30 days, believing that God was done with me, knowing that God over and over and over and over had convicted my heart. Beloved, listen, I can't tell you a lot about what he preached, but I can tell you this. It's out of this old King James Bible. And beloved, listen, sitting there on that pew the whole time I sat under Brother Bud Wishon, I realized he was proclaiming truth from the Word of the living God. And beloved, listen, our faith is perfect because of the perfection in the Scripture. Look what he says here. He says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Isn't that good? Peter goes back, you go back up here, he said, this is my beloved son. He heard him say it. Peter said, I got something better than that. I got something better than the Mount of Transfiguration. I got a Bible. Amen. A more sure word of prophecy. And beloved, we're living in a generation where people want to exalt experience above the Word of God. But that'll never work.
It's the word that's settled in heaven. He said, a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. How many's glad that light shined in that dark place? I'm going to tell you something. There was something boiled up inside of you, and that was that light, precious faith. When that light got to shining down in there, I've tried to illustrate it like this before. You know, you can go home with, you know, you take the lady in here that's got the cleanest house. I don't know who that is. I might know who it ain't, but I don't know who it is. Amen. Well, we know it ain't Sister Gladys, don't we? See me get out of that and Sister Gladys. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. You take the lady that's the best housekeeper. Say, I'd like to come into your house. That's okay. You come right on in, preacher. I'd like to bring a flashlight. Well, a little bit hesitant. That's okay. You come right on in, preacher. I'd like to shine it up under your refrigerator now, preacher. How many knows, beloved, when the Holy Spirit of God comes and opens this old book, amen, he shines the light. Listen, he's not interested in our best. He shines it right down in the deep, dark corners in our life. And amen. That's what he did with the woman at the well. He shined it down there. Then she knew. He knew all about her. Amen. I'm glad for a God that wrote a book. And we know he knows all about us. The great thing is he loves us anyway. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I believe it's a blessing tonight to realize it's precious because of its perfection. I'm glad that we got started out right in this faith. No prophecies of Scripture is of private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm glad the Holy Ghost moved them. And I'm glad the Holy Ghost took what they wrote and moved me, amen, toward my Savior, towards the salvation and this like precious faith. Let me give you this tonight. This is the Lord dealt in my heart. There's the precious things that's a result of the perfection that we see here in the Scripture. But secondly, there's the precious faith as a result of the production that we see here. What does precious faith produce? What does it produce? Let me just say this tonight. Every one of us, the Apostle Paul said, we ought to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. And listen, if I read this chapter and I see what this precious faith produces and I don't see any of this in my life, I'm concerned. Amen. And I have a right to be concerned. Because the Bible said it's like precious faith. In other words, it don't produce one thing in me and produce another thing in you and produce another thing in you. This like precious faith will produce some things in God's people. Number one, look at it here with me. What will it produce? Number one, this precious faith will produce a servant. I said it will produce a servant. You can't even get out of the first few words. Simon Peter, a servant. I say hallelujah. Not Simon Peter, a rebel. Not Simon Peter, a curser. Not Simon Peter, a fisherman. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When that faith came, it made a servant out of Simon Peter. And Jesus knew about that when he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You understand Jesus put into the test. And if it were up to me, I tell you, I would have preached John on the day of Pentecost. I would have preached the one that went all the way to Calvary. I would have preached the one, beloved, that stood by his mother. I would have preached the one, beloved, that didn't warm by the devil's fire, that didn't walk afar off, that didn't curse. But aren't you glad, thank God, that God can take the wicked out of this world and make servants of the Most High God out of them? I got a text from my grandson the other day. I can't tell you all about it. It's too personal. But I tell you what God's doing. He's working. And listen, it's the grandson that I was worried the most about. It's the one that's been in trouble. It's the one, beloved, listen, he, a little bit about what he said. He said, Papa, I learned a lot from you this summer. I tell you, God's working in his life. And he wants to go on with God. I say hallelujah. Servant. You take somebody that don't want to serve, somebody that just wants to be a big shot, somebody that just wants to be a boss over something. There's a lot of men in churches. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. They want to be a boss in a church because they can't be at home. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. The best pastors aren't bosses. They're servants. The best deacons aren't bosses. They're servants. The best Sunday school teachers are not bosses over a class. They're servants of the Most High God. The best soul winners are not bosses. They're servants. And I tell you tonight, when that like precious faith comes, I walked into my pastor. You can ask him. I believe he would remember this because you don't experience it as a pastor very often. You can ask Brother Don. He's been at it a lot longer than me. How many times he's experienced it. But I got saved. I'm telling you, I got saved. I didn't belong to myself. I didn't want to belong to myself. I saw what a mess I'd made in 27 years. I belonged to Jesus. I walked into my pastor's office. I said, Brother Bud, I said, it don't matter what you need me to do. I said, if you need me to mow the grass, I'll mow it. If you need me to drive a van, I'll drive it. If you need me to clean the bathroom, I'll clean it. If you need something painted, I'll paint it. If you need somebody to teach a class, I'll teach it. I said, Pastor, I didn't come in this office to tell you what I will or will not do. I come in here to tell you I'll do whatever you want me to do. You say, Preacher, did God bless that? Oh, yes. It's a servant's heart. It wasn't a heart that I came up with. It was a heart that he came down with and put in me, a heart to serve the Lord. I tell you tonight, I believe with all of my heart that when that precious faith comes, it'll produce a servant. Not only does it produce a servant, how many's glad to be a servant of the Lord? A servant. I remember the movie Sheffy. There's certain things in it that I remember well. I've seen it four or five times. Somebody ran up to Preacher Sheffy, that old circuit riding Methodist preacher, and said, "Why, you're Brother Sheffy." Just making much out of Brother Sheffy. He said, "I'm a servant of the Lord." That's what matters. He said, "Preacher, I don't believe that. I'll see you at the judgment seat." That's where not only, listen, what we do is going to be judged, but why we did it. Did we do it because we loved him? Did we serve him because we loved him? A servant. And then secondly, I see something else that this faith produces. It produces a solution. You say, Preacher, what do you mean a solution? Well, when I was in school, they give you problems and they expected you to come up with an answer or a solution to that problem. Now let me just say something to you tonight. When you and I got saved, we didn't get rid of all of our problems. Help me. I'm just saying, listen, the devil's going to be back, the flesh is going to be back, the world's going to be back. But God said, listen, this kind of faith doesn't just, beloved, provide a servant, but it provides a solution to the problem. The main problem, of course, is sin. It was 2 weeks, almost. I saved on a Sunday night. You go through that week, and then it was Wednesday night of the next week. It was that long before I knew that my feet were actually still on planet Earth. I can remember it. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I was apologizing to everybody, witnessing to everybody, and I can't explain it, really. But it was almost like I just didn't know I was still in this world. I mean, it was so good to be saved. But I had an experience. I'm not going to go into that tonight. There was a man that, I'll just tell it in a general sense like this. There was a man that said to me, as I apologized to a church for saying I saved when I wasn't saved, there's a man said to me, "I still don't know if you're saved or not." And all at once I realized I ain't heaven yet. It hurt. I realized my feet were back down here on the earth. And I'd even have to give God the glory for what I said to that man through tears and a broken heart. I looked at him and I said, "Brother," I said, "I was there the night God saved me." And I said, "I know I'm saved." And I said, "God was there the night he saved me." And I said, "He knows I'm saved." And I looked at that man and said, "The devil was there the night." How many can vouch for that? Say amen. The night God saved me. And I said, "He knows I'm saved." And with a broken heart, I looked at that man and said, "It really doesn't matter whether you ever know it or not." Amen. That wasn't me. That wasn't my heart. I believe the Spirit of God rebuked that man for what he said to me. It brought me back down to earth. Watch what happens here in the solution. The Bible said here, "According to his divine power, hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." God didn't just give us salvation the night that he saved us. He gave us everything we needed to make the journey. Say amen. Watch this now. He said, "I give him all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." That's why, listen, how many of you remember that intense desire that was in your heart to get in the Word of God when you got saved? Amen. You couldn't get enough of it. Amen. You couldn't get enough preaching. You couldn't get enough singing. You couldn't get enough of the Word of God because God was filling you up with that you needed for the journey. Amen. Those precious promises in the Word of God. He said that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. You show me a person that's laid their Bible down, and I'll show you a person where the old nature will be rearing its head instead of the divine nature rearing its head. Somebody said you just need to do what comes naturally. You better not. We better do what God tells us to do in the Bible. He's given us that solution to this sin problem, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And he said, besides all this, now listen, when we get saved, a lot of people treat that like that's the end. That's not the end, that's the beginning. God said, now I've given you a foundation, put some bricks on it, put some mortar on it, add to it. You can't add to the salvation, but what you can add to, beloved, are those things that will sustain you in the storm, that will sustain you in the hour of temptation, a solution to the problem. He said, add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. He said, for these things be in you and abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You show me a Christian that's barren, and I'll show you a Christian where the devil's subtracting instead of the Lord adding. Help me? I'll show you a Christian where the devil's dividing instead of the Lord multiplying. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. You can mark this down. If God's wanting to multiply, the devil's wanting to divide. If God's wanting to add, the devil's wanting to subtract. And beloved, listen, it's entirely possible, the Bible said here, to get in such a shape that you forgot that you were purged from your old sin. That's a pitiful shape to be in. Say amen. I've been in some low places in my Christian life, but I thank God I've never been to the place where I've forgotten what Jesus did for me that night in February. In 1987. There's a solution. I believe that's why it's precious faith. It produces a servant. It produces a solution. But then it produces a surety. If you look on down here, he said, if these things be in you and bound, they make you neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad tonight I know when the choir sings the song, my name is there. I'm glad I know my name is there. I'm glad, listen, tonight it's not dependent upon my performance then or my performance now, but it's in His perfection and in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that we get this surety from the Word of God. It's a precious faith because it produces a surety. Brother Merv used to sing so wonderfully, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." And that's just a foretaste of the glory that you and I are going to experience when Jesus comes again. It's precious as a result of its perfection. It's precious, a precious faith as a result of its production. But then, let me give you this in closing this evening. It's precious as a result of its promotion. You know, tonight, listen to me carefully. You know what's sad? We're living in a generation when there are more people excited on the job about a promotion than they are in the house of God. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? You talking about getting a raise?" No, 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 no. It ain't got nothing to do with money as far as the promotion I'm talking about in the Word of God. I'm talking about getting to our real home. I'm talking about getting in that new body. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus coming back for His own. You say, "Preacher, where is that?" Let's look at the entrance into this promotion. In verse number 11, He said, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." I guarantee if you could interview Peter, he'd say, "There's a lot of things I don't know, but there's one thing I know. There's somebody coming after me, and He's going to usher me into His eternal kingdom." Amen. He's going to promote me and get me out of this sin-cursed world. Then there ought to be not only the entrance that should thrill us tonight, but the remembrance of this promotion should thrill us. He said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." I talked to a young man this week, and I was straight with him and talked to him with a broken heart. But I looked at that young man and said, "Son, you realize if you had died, you'd have been in trouble." He nodded his head. You say, "Preacher, what's going to happen if you get died, if you die, if you was to get killed? I'm going to get out of trouble. My troubles are going to be over." Amen. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes God takes some of His precious people home, and I get almost jealous. Amen. I mean that tonight. You say, "Preacher, you've lost your mind. Don't believe you found it when the things on the other side look better than the things on this side." A promotion that's coming for the children of God. There are people in Kingsport who get more excited over a 25-cent raise than they will the fact that Jesus is going to come and raise us right out of this world. Amen. Get more excited over getting to be a foreman or getting to be a boss or getting more time off or getting another week of vacation. I'm not saying you can't get excited about those things, but what's wrong with us if we can't get excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus for His own? He's going to come and get us. And I tell you something tonight, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. 1 year there, y'all know my sister Bobby, she sits over here in front of Miss Eve. 1 year we had Easter. Mom and Dad was still living, and the tables, I'm not exaggerating, Brother Brian. Sometime we get out riding around, I'll just take you by that place over and show you how long that front porch is. Them tables like we have in the fellowship hall, they would have reached from that piano to that organ easily, maybe another table past that. And what we did something different that year, and I had families and in-laws and outlaws. Our family was all gathered around that table. We sat down and we asked for blessing. It was Easter, wasn't it, Miss E? It was Easter. We went over there after church on Easter Sunday. And it just, what amazed me was the size of the table. And then You know, I can get over that pretty quick, but I started looking at what was in the middle of the table all the way down through there. And they said, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it different. We ask a blessing. They said, everybody's going to stand up, and you're just going to take your plate, and you're just going to circle the table all the way around till you get back to your seat and get whatever you want. I'm going to tell you something. It works good. Brother Brian, we might ought to change that homecoming line. The reason it works good is because I was full by the time I got back to my seat, and I figured that you can eat more standing up, walking any time than sitting down. Amen. But I sat down at that table, Brother Gary, and my heart just, it was so full. Brother Don, all I could think about is this one little old family down here on this planet. And ain't all of us here. What's it going to be when his family sits down at the table? What's it going to be, beloved, when God's family sits down at the table, the marriage of the Lamb? What a blessing it's going to be. The precious faith going to promote us. I see the entrance. I see the remembrance. And I think that it's going to be so wonderful. I see the excellence of this promotion. Look at verse 16. For we have not followed cunning, devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know tonight what makes it precious? Peter said, I got to see it. And he calls this like precious faith. What did he say here? Look at how he worded it. He said, to that have them that have obtained like precious faith. Then he used these two words, with us. Peter got to see it. You and I will get to see it. We'll get to see him. We'll get to look upon his face. And the excellence, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. The excellence that Peter saw up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, the perfection, the glory, the glow. You and I, one day after a while, will get to see him in all of his glory. And it's going to be excellence upon excellence. Everything's going to be perfect there. Everyone is going to be perfect there. And what a day. What a glorious day that'll be. I don't know about you tonight, but I look forward to that day where there's no crutches, no wheelchairs, no chemotherapy, no knee replacements. Say amen. Nobody being unkind or mean to somebody else. When somebody tells you something, you'll know it's the truth because no lie can enter in over there. Can't even tell a lie over there. Amen. What a day. What a glorious day that's going to be. How many have that like precious faith tonight? You know, if you died tonight, heaven would be your home. Ain't that wonderful? You say it's dark out there, but I tell you something that can light up that sky. That's the Savior of the world. He's coming. It's going to be night somewhere on the earth when he comes, but he'll light up that sky, won't he? Amen, because he is the light of the world. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Father in heaven, I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts and help us, our Lord, tonight to see truly, 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 Lord, we are somebody. We're headed somewhere, not in and of our own right, but through the faith that's been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the righteousness of God in our Savior. And Father, tonight, the only way that we can be counted right with God is to have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus imputed unto us. Lord, what a Savior that would take our sin and place it on him, and take his righteousness and place it on us. Lord, it's sad tonight, but many, many people in the world, they really don't know what Bible salvation is all about. They're trying and trying and trying. When, Lord, you said what we need to do is trust. Trust the Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that something's been said to encourage your people. Something been said, Lord, that would stir in the heart of that one, Lord, that's never been born again. Help them to know, Lord, that religion's not enough, reformation's not enough. There must be a birth. You told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Lord, that takes a divine power. No man in his pride would ever swallow that pride and be saved. Lord, I pray tonight, speak to the heart of every individual. Lord, the young man that I had the privilege to talk to this week, and the man Colts talked to, Lord, God, you're able. And I pray, Lord, that they would come to that place where they'd trust you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.